Good morning and happy Mother's Day. What a great celebration we have this morning. You're welcome in this place. It's great to see you all. We have this celebration today, Mother's Day. So I thought it would be really good to start with the Beatitudes for Mother's Day. As we know, we are during this session studying the Beatitudes, and we've been so blessed so far. So I have these blessings for Mother's Day, unknown author, which I found. So just to start with that, if that's okay. Blessed are mothers who did without for us. They will be rewarded. Blessed are mothers who lost sleep when we were sick. They will find rest. Blessed are mothers who taught us how to pray. They will share God's kingdom. Blessed are mothers who comforted us. They shall be comforted. Blessed are mothers who taught us right from wrong. They will know justice. Blessed are mothers who shared with us the meaning of peace. They shall know peace. Blessed are mothers who taught us the importance of loving God and each other. They shall see God. Amen. That was a wonderful blessing for mothers, and we can all agree that actually maybe the ninth Beatitudes are the women's in our lives, mothers, sisters, daughters and granddaughters. So God bless you all. Happy Mother's Day. And it's great to celebrate together. So as we looked at the last session from the Beatitudes, what an amazing journey we had, studying the greatest sermon ever told by the greatest preacher, our Lord Jesus. We have been blessed by the words of Jesus and also blessed by the gifts in our church. Many thanks to all gifted speakers who helped us to unpack the Beatitudes. Jackie last Sunday, Mandy, Chris. Unfortunately, Chris is not here. He's not feeling very well. We're praying for him. And Andy as well, for helping us to understand the meaning of the Beatitudes. We are spiritually richer from that. And it's a blessing, isn't it, to have the gifts here in our fellowship to help us come closer to God. So God bless you all. Thank you. I thank you all agree to give them a round of applause for their messages during this series. And we're all trying to encourage people to use their gifts here in this place. So if you feel you have a gift and you're not using it yet or you're not using it enough, please come and see me after the service. It would be great to see how we can all serve together. As we said, the Sermon on the Mount is considered to be the pinnacle of Jesus' message for humanity, the greatest sermon by the greatest preacher. And today I just wanted to conclude on this series and to look at some practical applications for us, as well as looking how actually we can see Jesus in the Beatitudes, which I think would be amazing to discuss this morning for our understanding. This message is a crucial message for us as Christians, as followers of Christ, because in the Beatitudes, it is described the ideal character of every citizen in the kingdom of heaven. We see these statements really speaks to our heart, the blessings, the Beatitudes, the happinesses that Jesus gave us here. So just to look at the core themes, next slide, very briefly, we find in these Beatitudes the key themes here for us: humility, dependence of God, righteousness, mercy, sincerity, pursuit of peace, willingness to endure persecution. So those are the core messages we have touched on. But next point in my presentation is to look at how we can see our Lord Jesus Christ in the Beatitudes. So next slides will go through this, because I think it's amazing to understand Jesus came to present us God the Father. And by giving us the Beatitudes, he is actually saying, do you really want to know God? Do you really want to know who God is and how he is? Well, let me tell you the Beatitudes. Let me tell you God's character. And it was actually, we see this in Jesus' character. So let's start with two Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit and those who are meek. Because we see this in Jesus' life on earth. He gave us an example. He always related to his Father in heaven. He used to say, my Father and I are one. For example, in that verse, John 6:38, it says, for I have come down from heaven to do not my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. We see his dependence on God the Father. And this beatitude encourages us to be the same. He humbled himself, as we see in Ephesians. He humbled himself so much. He says, Christ Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Wow. We see in Jesus how much he humbled himself for us. We have this example in that photo. You all know what that picture represents. In his last evening with the disciples, in John chapter 13, verses 1 and follow, we see that in his last hours, he spent his time serving others. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. So this is the assurance. He will love us all to the end as well. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Wow. If you knew you only have a few hours on this earth to live, or a few weeks, or a few months, what would you do? What would I do? We looked at Jesus as an example of humility and a servant heart. He spent his last hours serving the ones who loved, setting an example for us. Now, in our culture, I know we don't wash each other's feet, but the principle here remains. We should look after each other, praying for one another, saying hello here in the mornings and speaking with other people, supporting each other, people around us. What an amazing example we have in Jesus. Second slide, we looked at blessed are those who mourned, and Jesus mourned when he was on this earth. We have the shortest verse in the scripture at the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus wept. And this mourning, these Beatitudes, as we learned, is about physical loss, yes, but also about recognizing and repenting of our sins as well. Jesus also cried for the city of Jerusalem, for the fact that they didn't understand who he is. The majority of people did not get it, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one sent to save them. And we learn from Jesus that when he mourned, he always spent time in prayer with his Father. And we are encouraged to do the same, because prayer makes us feel relief. As we feel at Monday's prayer meetings, actually, after each session of prayer, at the end, we feel like, God, we told you everything what was in our heart. Now it's up to you to do the rest. So let's learn from our Lord Jesus. When he mourned, he always prayed to his Father. And then the other two Beatitudes, pure in heart and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus was that. He was hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we see that in all his life on this earth. This emphasized the importance of our strong desire for justice and righteousness. And in 1 Peter there, we read, "He, Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled the insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have turned to the shepherd and overseers of your souls." He was thirst and hunger for righteousness so that we can be with him as well. He wanted us to have the same thirst and hunger for righteousness. As it says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, "All who have this hope in him purify themselves as he is pure." So again, what a great example of this beatitude we have in Jesus. The next slide talks about Jesus being merciful and the peacemaker, as we also studied. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Jesus shown mercy for the people who came to him sincerely to find answers to their questions and their struggles. He was merciful by, first of all, as we read in the scripture, forgiving people's sins. He knew that was their main problem, their main priority. As we read through these his miracles, he starts by saying, "Your sins are forgiven," very often. Although the individual came with a physical problem, Jesus Christ knew the main problem of human hearts, and he came merciful to forgive us. He also was a peacemaker, first of all, a peacemaker between us and God the Father. As we read in Ephesians chapter 2, 12, 14, "Remember that at a time when you were separated from Christ," that's all of us, "excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups, us and God, one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." He was a peacemaker between us and God. He was a peacemaker between people as well. As we remember, he stopped the gang of Pharisees and Sadducees from stoning the woman in that picture there. We remember the story. He stopped, as you remember, the fight in Gethsemane when Peter took the sword out and cut the ear of that soldier. He healed him and said, "Put the sword back, Peter." Our fight is not a physical fight. Our fight is a spiritual fight, a spiritual battle. Our sword is the word of God. What an amazing example we have here in Jesus as well. And last but not least, Jesus was persecuted. The last beatitude that was presented to us. He was persecuted for his righteousness. And this is a sign of faithful commitment to God. In John 8, 58, we see here, when he starts speaking about himself, who he really was, people couldn't take that, and they tried to stone him as well. "Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. He was persecuted firsthand. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "To this you are called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Jesus was persecuted
by all, even by his closest friend, as you remember, betrayed by Judas, and also by the family members. At some point, he was rejected, thinking he is a lunatic. Remember those verses. He was persecuted by other religious leaders as well. We see Jesus in the Beatitudes. He shows himself to the world, and we can know him better. We can know him more intimately. This is our Jesus. How wonderful he is. And looking at the Beatitudes makes us think and saying, yes, we want to follow him. Because from all the religious leaders that humanity have seen, there is no one like Jesus to really, truly live what he preached. You know, we're all failing. I'm failing. When we all study the Beatitudes, we hear the speakers here saying, well, I look at this, but I'm not that yet. I have a lot of work to do. But Jesus, compared to anyone else, he really, truly was what he preached. And he deserves our love. He deserves our heart as well. So let's follow him and not a human being. And the promises from the Beatitudes are also his, because he says here, blessed are those because theirs are the kingdom of heavens. In fact, Jesus is the King of kings, King of heavens. So he is that, and he has the kingdom of heavens. And also, he says, blessed are those because they will inherit the earth. Jesus will inherit the earth. Us, the believers who followed him, we are his prize. We are his inheritance, if you like. So what then, after this amazing series? Let's look at some practical applications for our lives to close this amazing series. First of all, the Beatitudes are like a map to our happiness in life. So let's remember that. Beatitudes, we learn, means blessing, happinesses. In other translations, it's actually say, happy are those who do that. There is a human right, as you know, the right to pursuit of happiness, backing the United States Declaration of Independence. So Jesus, the greatest speaker, talks about what it means to be truly happy, to be truly blessed, and that is to be transformed and changed by God. So there are three elements that come out of this message, how one can be really happy. First of all, is to understand in our lives the divine perspective of life. And the Beatitudes gives us the divine perspective of life. You know, if we are distracted by what's happening here on this earth, this temporary life, the sad things, the sufferings, and if we are trying to find happiness in the material, in the here and now, we see every now and again, this is impossible. The true happiness is found when we have God's perspective of life. The kingdom of God, was Jesus was saying, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will follow, will be given to you. So we should rejoice we have the kingdom of God because we have that divine perspective of life. And Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Paul had divine perspective of his life. He knew something better will come. Second element of true happiness is one's character, not the size of our bank accounts, not the number of possessions, the mansions and everything else. It's if we let our hearts and lives be transformed by Jesus' message. And thirdly, truly happy we are when we get to know him, to know Jesus personally. In his book, Abundant Living, E. Stanley Jones observed, the early Christians did not say in dismay, look what the world has come to, but in delight. Look what has come into the world. Look what has come into the world. Jesus Christ has come to us. Do you have him? Do we have him? And some practical lessons, as I was mentioning here. The Beatitudes are like a map or like a lighthouse for us. Every time we found ourselves far away from God, taken away by the storms of life and the mistakes and the sorrows and the troubles, look again at the Beatitudes like a lighthouse to come back to source, come back to the truth, come back to our lives as we're supposed to be lived. So let's recap some of the practical applications. Poor in spirit means to embrace humility, interactions with others, acknowledging our own limitations. Meekness, we learn to practice patience and self-control in challenging situations. If you really want to be happy, for example, in your marriage, in your relationships, again, it's not how big is the house, it's not how many holidays and where you're going, like exotic places. Remember, it's not important where you're going, but with whom you're going, where you're going. And to be blessed and happy in our relationship is to be humble and meek and merciful to our wife and husband and children. To have that sacrificial love, if you want to be a better husband, a better wife, mother or father, revisit the Beatitudes every now and then and see if any gaps somewhere, if anything can be addressed. We want to be happy in our jobs and career. It's not about how much money also or salary, although it's not a bad thing. We all want that. But it's being truly happy at work, hungry for righteousness, to make sure you're following the right things, to make sure you are that respected colleague, and also to behave with love and care for people, whatever the gossip and things may be behind your back. Or just being happy when you're persecuted at work because of your way of living, following Jesus and not participating in all the evil jokes. When we're going through life crisis, let's turn back to the Beatitudes and learn again. The next few, thirst for righteousness, pure in heart. We need to remain hungry for righteousness, live a life of integrity. The pure in heart is to foster purity of heart, aligning our thoughts and words with the actions we take. When we see injustice or in our personal lives, we need to pursue that justice and reconciliation with God and others. And when we're doing something for God or people, let's reassess what are the reasons behind our actions. As I've examined myself, for example, why did I choose to step in training to be a minister? What are the real reasons? What is in my heart? And hopefully, it will stay the same, to serve God, to serve others, to be his disciple, and trying to bring other people to see the beauty, the glorious of Jesus and how awesome he is for us. So hopefully that will stay with me for the years to come. It's helpful to examine our hearts. The next slide talks about the remaining ones. Merciful. We learn to be merciful, to practice forgiveness and show compassion to those who have wronged us, to extend grace and understanding even when it's difficult. For peacemakers, we need to seek opportunities to build bridges between people, not put fire when there is a conflict. When people are doing wrong to us, they attack us verbally, as we've seen in the media. So much going on, so much evil and bullying online. Let's not participate in that. When you see conflict, even in churches sometimes, different opinions, we are called to be peacemakers between people and people and God. As we said before, if you really want to be happy in your relationships or neighbors, family, we are called to be peacemakers, not aggravating what's already going on. And persecuted for righteousness, we learn to stand firm in our beliefs, in our faith, even when faced with opposition. When we are persecuted or betrayed because of our faith, we need to look at Jesus and learn from him. And lastly, blessed are those who mourn. We need to show sympathy and be with those grieving or having difficult times. Offer a listening ear or be there present with them in their grief. And we've learned during this beatitude that sometimes it's okay not to be okay, as is often said at the Renew Peace on Thursday. Yes, we have this peace, this joy as gifts from God, from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's good to cry. We're not feeling that joyful in our lives, and we learn that is okay. And Jesus Christ promises through the Holy Spirit, he will be there with us wherever we may be going through. When we go through grief or sadness, when we mourn, we learn that there is always a comforter. Jesus through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the comforter, our helper, who will remind us that life is temporary. This life is like a drop in the ocean. And what we're running to, what we're running from, when Jesus is right here, is so close to us, he is right at the door of our heart. As it says in Revelation 3:20, here I am, Jesus says, standing at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. So I pray this morning that we are truly, truly blessed by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we are truly blessed by the Beatitudes. And I pray that God will help us to reevaluate our faith in light of the Beatitudes. Reevaluate our relationship with God and with one another. I pray that we as individuals will become closer and closer to our Lord Jesus as we've seen how wonderful he presented himself in the Beatitudes. And as a church, we become open to his ministry to us and us ministering to others. Until the day he will either come again or us will be go away from this world to meet him in heaven as he is. So God bless us all from this series. And let's remember the word of God will stay with us forever. And I'll end up with this verse in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So help us, God. And if you need prayer, please don't leave this place until you receive prayer. And I'll wait for you at that table or anyone else around your table. If you want to pray with someone in the fellowship, please feel free to do so. God bless you all. Thank you for listening.